Wow. Wow. Pray with us. Let's pray together for just a moment. Man. Ooh. How many of y'all know the Holy Spirit's in the house? Wow. Let me remind you, when the anointing falls on a church, it does not fall upon a church for your personal entertainment. Oh, I tell ya. But it falls on a church so that we might be empowered by the grace of God to be more like what we've been made to be, and that's a follower of Jesus. So we're going to discover that today. And man, y'all have just been beautiful today. You know, what I'm amazed about is the Bible's true. It's just true. God said He inhabits the praises of His people. What did we decide to do today? You know, a lot of you guys said, let me tell you what, inhabit me. And you got inhabited, and I watched over here, the inhabitation started to spread. And before too long, there was the movement of what God's saying, I love my children. I love my children. Start with Nehemiah this morning. He said, Nehemiah, I love you, little boy. Don't you listen to what anybody else has got to say, because I am your God. Now see, that's we got to get that kind of attitude. And I want to talk today about this. What does it mean to serve God? How many of y'all have heard from the preacher you're supposed to be out there serving God? Well, you are. But we're going to talk about what does it entail to serve God. And I think we got some things backwards on that. And I want you to know that we're to serve out of the love that we have for Christ. That God's not impressed with our activity nor our actions, but He does want us to get with Him. So before I pray, I want you to think about this. Can you pray? What does it mean that God would be with me? And because God is with me in Jesus Christ, what am I? Okay, so let that kind of move through your head during worship. Let's pray together. Lord, teach us today, what does it mean that we're with You, we're in You, we're about You. Jesus, I want to thank You for the movement of Your Holy Spirit here today. Lord, I want to thank You that as we come back in off of summer things, that God, You hadn't changed a bit, and You have been with us on those things. And God, I thank You from the floor to the balcony for all the beautiful things that You're doing in the life of the church. God, You're not finished with Your church. And the church of Jesus Christ is strong enough to withstand the gates of hell. So we know it can make a difference in the culture we find ourselves in. And so God, I want to pray today that we would get real with what it means to love You. And even more than that, that we would accept that You love us. And what changes that authentically makes in our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. First thing I want to start with is this is you can't serve till you surrender. Okay, I want us to learn this principle. God does not need us to serve for Him. Okay, write it down. He doesn't need us to serve for Him. He can do it on His own. He needs us to work with Him. We're in partnership with the power of God to do great things. But serving for God, I hear people say that all the time. Well, I'm doing this for God. Well, we'll just do it with God. See, that's where I'm having a marriage with God. I'm having a career with God. I'm living my life, what? With God. That's where the changes occur, not for. And here's the reason I say beware of this for kind of mentality, because here's what we want to do. We want to serve for God, and we get real upset when we don't get the benefits we think we deserve. Hello? It's almost this earning mentality that, you know, God's done this great thing for me, so I'm going to do something for Him. Let me explain it to you out of our patron saint, Noah. Did Noah build a boat for God? I mean, God didn't need a boat. When you can walk on water, you don't need a boat. Noah needed a boat. He couldn't walk on water. You see what I'm saying? Noah couldn't float long enough to survive the habit. So God said, I want you to build a boat, what? With me, not for me. There's a big difference in the two. Watch this. Noah didn't even know what a boat looked like, so who did he have to trust for the plans? God. You know, isn't that cool? It wasn't like Noah did like, okay, God, here's how we need to do the boat. That's not the way it went down. That's not the way it went down. It went down like this. Noah, here's what you need to do. Now work with me and you will be saved. Work with me, not for me. And I think we in the church need to get this mentality that we're going with God, not for God. With. That's right, Dylan. You got it. You're locking. With God. All right? With God. Say it with me. With God. With God. Let me ask you a question. With God are all things possible. Yeah. How many of y'all can achieve more with God than without Him? See, that's what changes the mentality. Now, I want to show you this very biblical. Y'all got Noah's deal down there? He didn't build a boat for God. He built a boat with God. Now, here's what I noticed. When you work with God, whatever you take on will float. See, I don't know about you. If I designed my own boat, it may have not floated for 40 days or 40 nights. I don't know about y'all. I might have missed something on the design. Huh? And we got to learn to trust God's design better than our own will. Now that brings me to this. You'll never serve God till you surrender. Now that means this. I've come to a conclusion in my life that God's design is better than my way. How many of y'all are moving toward that? How many of y'all have tried it enough? You're about convinced that God's got it going on. How many of y'all have done what God said not do long enough to know now why He said it?
Amen.
How many of y'all keep testing Him on that? You go back one more time. Lord, are you sure it's not going to work this time? You go do it, and guess what? Sure enough, it doesn't work what? This time. I want to tell you, God loves us even when we mess up. I want to take you to the end of the Gospel of John, and I want you to watch how God, who is Jesus, leads the disciple Peter back into an established way of life, even though he had messed up. Now, what do you know about the disciple Peter, this Simon, son of John? Anybody, I mean, you all go to youth group all the time. You all read the Bible all the time. You all hear Pastor Eric teaching you great lessons. What do you all know about the disciple Peter? Disciple Peter, what's your first impression? Mickey, you don't count. You're not in youth group anymore. Huh? What? What do you think, guys? Disciple Peter. Klein, what's he kind of like? Mouthy or not mouthy? Here, I'll make a multiple choice. He's mouthy. Peter's mouthy. What else is he like? He's always coming to the quick conclusion. How many of y'all got any friends that always come to the quick conclusion? I mean, they know it instantly, yeah? You know it. How many of y'all got anybody like that in your life? They know they're going to do this, they're going to do that. Remember, Peter's the one that stood up and said, "Oh, Lord, I'll never deny you." Guess what happened? "Oh, Lord, I did." Three times Peter said, "Man, I didn't run around the guy." The second time he said, "Man, I don't know what y'all are talking about. I'm not with the man from Galilee." And the third time he said, "I told y'all, hell no, I was not around." He cursed. So I didn't follow Jesus. He cursed. Cursed. Backed him away. Said, "I don't know him." This is real stuff. See, here's the problem is, y'all think the Bible's G-rated. That's because you never read it.
Amen.
In fact, if I was to do a Spielberg film of most of the Bible, the Christians would protest it.
Amen.
It's got nudity in it. Language. Oh, man. The Family Accredited Association would be writing for weeks if they ever read the Bible. The script is messy. See, the problem is most Christians have never read the Bible. That's why they don't have a clue what they're supposed to be about. Now, they read the script of the Waltons and Leave It to Beaver, and they thought that was in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. There's a lot of messy stuff in the Bible. Here's one of those messy stories. Man, the disciple, a follower of Jesus, denied that he had anything to do with Jesus for three times, and Jesus catches him. How many of you all have found this? After you deny Jesus, you tend to go back doing what you used to do. How many of y'all have that problem? How many of y'all do familiar things even if they're no good? About three of you. How many of y'all tell lies a lot? All of us, yeah, huh? Yeah, we go back to what we used to do. Well, guess what? The disciples, they're back what they used to do. They were fishing. Remember when Jesus found them, what were they doing? Fishing. When Jesus finds them after the resurrection, what were they doing? Fishing. See, they had never become what he asked them to become. He said, "You follow me, I'll make you fisher of men." They're about at the stage to become fisher of men, and they quit. Yeah, but Jesus brings them on anyway. Now, they really caught fish. They're fishing. Now, in this story, they had followed the instructions of Jesus. Remember, right before this goes down, they followed the instructions of Jesus. Jesus tells them, as he yells out to them, "Hey, boys." Now, this is modified just a little bit. "Boy, throw your nets on the other side of the boat." Threw the nets on the other side of the boat, and they have caught a boatload of fish. Much like Pastor Steve can do.
Yeah.
Unlike Pastor Keith. Now, I'm going to tell you all a true fishing story. Keith Scarborough pretends to be a fisherman. I mean, he's got a fishing boat. What kind of boats Pastor Ayers have? Ski boat. You know what? Pastor Keith, he's got GPS, NASA rocket radar sensors on his boat. I mean, he's got everything in the world on that boat to catch fish. Can't catch a fish, boy, can't catch fish. It's his hair. Them fish, they look up in the water and they see that hair and say, that ain't no fishman. I never seen no bubble with hair like that. And they won't get on the hook. You believe me, Doc? I'm telling you, I'm gonna show you the proof this time, because Keith and I both went fishing with the same guy. Now, here's all I can tell you. This guy, he knows how to fish, and we were using his boat, in his poles, in his guiding ability. And when I went with this guy, we caught 7 big fish. It's interesting to me, it was even a holy number. 7 big fish. Now, before I even prophesied, about a week later, Pastor Keith's going to go fishing with him. I called up the brother. I said, man, you ain't going to catch no fish. He said, why? I said, Scarborough going with you. He ain't never caught a fish. I said, fish will run away from his boat. He said, man, I always catch fish. I said, you ain't going to catch no fish tonight. I'm telling you. This is a true story. I hate to tell y'all, but I'm under the anointing, and I must tell the truth under the anointing. It's a true story. This ain't even a fishing story. Keith, you know it's true. I'm going to call Rick right now. Give me my cell phone. I'm going to put him right here on the microphone. Let y'all know it's true. Keith went on Thursday night. It's on Thursday night, right? See, I was even on Friday night. I was fishing on a Sabbath and still caught fish. What do you think about that? And look here. Look here. Go on. I went on Thursday night. Come back. I call Rick right at the time they should be done fishing. I said, y'all didn't catch a fish, did you? He said, not a one. I said, I told you. And here's why it is. When you're out there fishing, you got to be listening. And when he says, put your net on the other side of the boat, you got to have enough faith to do what? Put your net where it doesn't make sense. How many will put your potential where the world says it doesn't make sense? See, the world says it doesn't make sense to follow Jesus Christ. You're not going to get ahead. You're not going to blend in. You're not going to be part of the popular crowd. Well, let me tell y'all about the popular crowd. Most of them are headed to hell. That's very popular in hell. How good are you going to feel in hell? I was popular here on earth. Burning now, but popular. Never going to experience the blessing of God, but I'm glad to know that we got to be popular for a moment. Yeah? You see? Now, watch this. We got a pile of fish going on, and Jesus shows up. And you got to know about the pile of fish for one reason. You will never serve till you surrender. And you got to surrender your glory for God's love. Is that not really the battle of our lives? I learned this the hard way when I was in ministry. I was working for God. I was a young buck minister out there. Guess what? I was falling asleep on my desk in a church office at 2:30 in the morning. You know what that is? That is insanity. And was in a church that was just patting me on the head like I was some little pet. You're the greatest youth pastor we've ever seen. You're so wonderful. All these kids are doing. Guess what? I was losing my marriage. I was losing my grip on my own identity. I was wiped out with my relationship with Jesus Christ. And the whole time, the whole church was going, go ahead and kill yourself. We'll get another one in 3 years. You wouldn't treat a hunting dog the way I was treated at the church. Any hunter never runs his dogs, what? Too long. You see, when you minister out of the flesh, let me tell you what, you can always know when you're ministering out of the flesh. You'll be tired, you'll be fearful, you'll be selfish, you'll be wore out, you'll be incapable, and you'll end up being exhausted. See, people tell me where they minister from all the time. I say, man, what about this minister here? I'm too tired to do it. The reason they're too tired to do it, because they did it out of the flesh. Now, in the Spirit, I've worked 16-hour days in the Spirit, and it felt like 5 minutes. Why? I was working with God and not for God. So I was working with Him. Let God lead. I imagine Noah had some long days building that boat. What do y'all think? Got hot out there, too. And Chad didn't have no heat index. At 105 heat index, Noah didn't look. Say, all right, boys, we're out. Done. We ain't going. No, it was hot. He had to keep on going. Because he was working with God. I want you to know, when you're working with God, you can always get it done. All right? Now, but you got to decide what you love. Serving God is basically this. I'm going to decide what I love. You know why people don't share the gospel? It's because they have not hit a level of love yet where sharing the gospel is one of the most important priorities in their life. It's that simple. It ain't about being scared. I don't buy that bogus, chumpy argument in my life. Church people at home, well, Pastor Steve, the reason we can't talk to our friends about Jesus is we're shy. I said, you ain't shy talking about cars. You ain't shy talking about your favorite ball team. You ain't shy about sharing your favorite recipe. You know why? Because you love that stuff. We talk about what we love. Amen? Why do I talk about Elizabeth all the time? I love her. Yeah. When I pick on her, what do? I love her. Some of y'all saying, you must love her a whole lot. I do. Now look what happened. When they finished eating, Jesus is speaking. He says, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? If we're going to serve God, we got to make up our mind, what do we love more than Jesus? How many of y'all love some things more than Jesus? Man, I love some things more than Jesus. First thing in the morning, let me ask you a question. Is Jesus on your mind or is Starbucks on your mind? Huh? I mean, first thing in the morning when you get up, how many of y'all say, oh, Jesus, this is the day you made, man. I just want to live in it. Or do you say, Starbucks? Huh? Man, this stuff gets into us as human beings. We got a bunch of fish piled up, which means a bunch of money piled up. And Jesus asked a very important question. Guess what he says? Do you love me more than these, Simon, son of John? And as soon as he says, if you do, guess what the response is? Simon, son of John, goes, oh, yes, Lord, I love you. And he said, feed my lambs. Well, he pauses. It's not enough. And he asks a second time. Look what happens. He says, again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? And guess what? He says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, guess what? Feed my what? Sheep. Now, I want you to note something. It's very important. I want you to notice something. Love will always, what you love will always determine your future. See, if you love your family, you'll put time into your family. You'll equip them. Watch this. If you love your children, you'll discipline your children. See, this is driven out of love. People that don't discipline their kids, why do you not discipline your children? I'm just giving you some illustrations of how this thing plays out. Why do you not discipline your children? Absolutely. You love yourself more than you do them. And you want your kids to do what? Like you. God help you when you want a 5-year-old to be your friend. What's this? Nehemiah should never be your friend. You're his mama. He don't need no friend. He needs a mama. Mama different than a friend. Mama will love you like your friend will not.
Amen.
What's this? I need a mama and I need a daddy. You know why? I had to have a daddy because guess what I'd do? I'd act up. Now my mama, she was sharp. She always referred me to the judge. Instantly.
Amen.
And guess what my dad did? He loved me enough to discipline me. Thank God. If you're going to be a winner, you got to be what? Disciplined. If you're going to succeed in life, you got to be disciplined. If you are in charge of employees, your job is not to be popular. It is to be effective. Yeah. What is this? You could ask these pastors. Pastor Eric, do I care less if you like me or not? Is that ever a thought that we have in 7 days down or a week around here? I don't ever go, geez, Pastor Shane's probably upset with me. Shane, you've been with me for years. Have I ever had that experience? Even when you were a 17 knot-headed kid, you know, a little old knothead, 17-year-old, working here in the church as an intern, what were we doing? Shane, these are some of the things you got to do. Why was I hard on you? Because I love you, because I love Jesus, because I know the love of God is stronger than the likability of humanity. Note the Bible. Jesus said, he didn't go like this, Peter, do you like me? Do you like the way I died for you? Do you like the way I came out of the grave? Do you like the way I walked? Did you like the miracles that I did? He said, Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these fish? Do you love me more than your glory? Do you love me more than your possibility? Peter, do you love me? He said, if you do, take care of my lambs, feed my sheep. Well, Jesus asked one more time. Simon, son of John. Notice, how does he call his name now?
Simon.
What did he call him before he denied him?
Peter.
Why? That's the name he gave him. So guess what Peter's saying? Peter, do you want to love me under your name? Or do you want to love me under the name I gave you? You see, watch this. How do y'all want to function? Under your own terms or under the terms God has made for you and provided for you? That's the trade-off. Isn't that cool? Thrill! Here's what he says. If you love me, feed my sheep. And here's what that means. Working with God will always bless somebody else. Amen? And if you are blessing somebody else, I want you to note this. You will always be taken care of. Isn't that cool? I remember the church here at Hillview. We didn't have a dime, man. This is a true story. We used to give people $5 so they could go on to another church and get some real money. I'm serious. And I said, brother, all I got is $5 to put in your gas tank, and I'm going to call this other church because they got some money, because we don't have any money. See, people forget this about Hillview. We started with like zero money. We had worse than no money. We had $500,000 in debt. Which is, we made less money than the people did that were coming and asking us for money. Used to crack me up as a pastor. They go, well, I only get so much from the government. I was like, man, what a salary. I get nothing. But that's okay. We knew that love would go further than men's provision. Do you love me more than these? Finally, he asked a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love? And he got mad. Look what he says. He says, Lord, you know all things. You know everything. You know I love you. Then what was the response? Feed my sheep. So here's what I want you to see today. If you will work with God, you will automatically bless people. And I just wanted you to hear this. God's concerned that we bless others. Serving God's a big deal. But service alone won't change your activity. Here's what I want you to know. The activity of doing service will never, never cause you to love. But I will tell you this. Love will always change your activity. Now, Nate, when you truly say, Lord, I love you, that'll change your activity. Watch this. How many of y'all ever heard your pastor here of you tell you to quit something? Y'all ever heard me preach on that in 16 years? You need to quit this, you need to quit that? Because I read the Bible. Here's what I know. If you fall in love with God, your activity will automatically change. Watch this. You can change your activity and still not be in love with God. You'll be proud of yourself. You'll be walking around going, I quit. And then you're just an obnoxious straight person. Y'all ever seen anybody that's got off the juice or got off the juice and they think they did it all by themselves? They're obnoxious human beings. They're some of the worst human beings have to deal with. They're mean. They're ornery. You know why? They did it their way. And they're like, I'm not doing it. Boy, what a beautiful human. You see, when you quit stuff, you'll quit out of resentment. When you're in love, it goes away in love. Big difference. Huge difference. Amen? Guess what? We're done today. Did y'all get this today? Not a long message today, but one I hope that will impact you. God wants you to know that He loves you and He wants you to love Him. And when you love Him, it will change your activity. Is that clear? Now, how many of y'all going to go out there and work for God this week? Three of you? You didn't hear me then, did you? Listen, I'm not picking on you. That church stuff is so wound up in our brains, it'll take us a lifetime to get it out. How many of y'all going to go work with God? There you go. See, here's what's scary. I mean, we got to think about all these little cliches we've been using for all this time. You know? It cracked me up when I was sitting there laughing in my office. Somebody would have thought I was insane. I'm sitting there, God, our job's not to work for you. It's to be in love with you. And when we're in love with you, the activity of you will feed sheep. Yeah? Here's the key, guys. We're going to work. I'm going to have to ask you to pick it up. Man, how many of y'all know? I mean, there's some great things happening to help you. There are a lot of people coming to church. There are a lot of people getting saved. That's wonderful. But guess what? We're going to have to work together. We're going to have to serve a little more. We may have to have a fourth service. Okay? I don't know yet. We'll have to wait and see. If we do, now that don't start clapping yet until you hear the full deal. That means we're going to have a whole other set of people watch the nursery. We're going to have a whole set of people trained working in preschool. We're going to have a whole other set of people trained working in children. And you're saying, well, we already got some people doing that. They get here at about 7 o'clock in the morning, and they leave at about 2 o'clock afternoon. And guess what? A lot of them do it every Sunday, 52 Sundays out of the year. So the next time you want to think about your great service sacrifice, you think about those folks who've been in this church for years, and they do that every Sunday morning. Boom, 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 so that your child might be what? Blessed. That's fine. They're not doing it for their glory, but I'm just telling you, there's people that do that. And they do it out of love. They don't do it out of complaint. Do it out of love. We want your children to be loved here. We want your children to know Jesus. But guess what? If we all do a little bit, what begins to happen? If every believer in this church starts doing a little bit, tell me what happens. Oh, a lot happens. All right? Guess what? We're out of space. On Wednesday nights, on Sundays, we're out of room. I mean, I can't make any more room. I don't have, like, take my big nose and twinkle it and the rooms expand. We are out of room. The only way I know to do that, we're going to have to make some more rooms. That's usually done out of steel and concrete. Last time I checked, they charged churches for that. You know, I wish we could just look at them and say, for God so loved the world. Or we could look at the construction company and say, may you move under the anointing and the power of God. Or we could just take some olive oil and flip it on the contract and it would all go away. However, if you read the Bible, that's not the way Jesus did it. He said, you consider the cost, you count the cost. And people who are true believers, they pay for what's due. And so we're going to have to get a little push on that building, but you'll hear about that later on the fall. Get involved somewhere where somebody else gets better. That's an act of service. You need to have that in your life. Does that make sense? Every follower of Jesus needs to have something where they're doing something where somebody else gets a little bit better. Because apparently that's very important to Jesus. Yeah, what do you think? I mean, here he is at the end of the gospel, puts Peter back in, and he tells him three times, take care of my lambs, feed my sheep. Do that, Peter. I love other people. And you've been doing that, Hillview, but I want you to just keep on doing that. And I want you to know God's going to do some great things through the life of the church here at Hillview Heights. Cool deal? Finished. Any questions? Let's love Jesus. Amen. Why don't y'all stand with me? Because God's going to do a great work today. Here's the greatest love I know, and it's been illustrated today. It's already been illustrated by Sean and Mike and Rick. It's already been illustrated right here in this baptistry. Today, guess what Jesus said? I love you so much, I want to come into your life and forgive you of your sins. How many of y'all want to see your sins forgiven? Know they're forgiven. You know what? Today, right here in this house, there are people here that don't have a relationship with Jesus. And I want, if you do have a relationship with Jesus, guess what you need to do at this altar right now? You don't need to be thinking about where you're going to go eat. Believe me, food is not a problem in America. Look around. Salvation is, though. Look around. I want you to begin to pray if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not about what you got to do today, but Lord, whoever it is here today that does not yet have grace in their life, that they may listen clearly to you. It's important. Check this out. How many of y'all realize today that if you don't, what happens if you, I'm going to ask you a question, you give me the answer. What happens if a human being doesn't have a relationship with Jesus? But why do they go to hell? Well, it got quiet in here. Maybe I haven't been a good preacher. They are separated from God. See, y'all got to understand salvation. It's not that you're a bad person, it's you're a dead person. Sin kills. It doesn't make you bad, it makes you dead. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus today, guess what? You are dead in sin. I know what you're thinking. You grew up in Kentucky. I grew up here with you. You're going, well, preacher, I'm just as good as anybody in this church. Huh? How many of y'all heard this one? I'm as good as anybody that attends church. Well, absolutely. You're better than some because the devil's got perfect attendance. He's been here at Hillview every Sunday. Sometimes he comes as sheep. He ain't saved. Devil quotes you the Ten Commandments, quotes you Bible verses. can read every bylaw in every church that's ever been created, but he's not saved. Why? Because the Satan will never bow down and surrender to service. How many of you today need to get on your knees and you need to say, Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life and forgive me of my sin. I've had enough. Lord, I'm sorry. I broke you 10 commandments and I want you to come into my life. What will God do if you made that repentant act? Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I believe you died on a cross and you've risen from the grave. Wow. Secondly, guess what? Some of you who've already made that decision, you need to get baptized. You know why you need to get baptized? You need to be obedient. I'm very straightforward about this. Some of you go, well, Pastor Harris, there's been people that haven't come back to Hillview because they're offended with you. What would he do? I'm not going to lie to a bunch of yuppies so they'll feel good about going to hell. Yes, God's going to hold us accountable for being the stinkingest, selfishest group of people that have ever been created by God. The generation called the baby boomers, we have consumed more of everything and done less with it than any other group of human beings that have ever taken a breath in all of human history. The generation before us, they gave. Our generation has been get. And now we've dumped it on a younger generation that's totally confused, wondering why. But guess what we got to learn to do? That's what we got to learn to do. Give. How many of y'all give your life to Jesus today? How many of y'all come to this altar today and say, Lord, I just want to learn to love and to serve and to live. All right? Is that cool? God saved people. He'll save them right now. Probably doing it right now. I want you to pray with me right now if you need Jesus in your life. Lord, we hear you in spirit. Speak to a Tim, to a Howard, to a Hank, to Hannah, to Holly. Listen to Jesus. Do you love me more than these? Today, why don't you ask him, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. Come into my life, Lord. I believe you died for me and you've risen in me. Just tell him, Lord Jesus, come into my what? Life. And forgive me of that sin. Just like Sean did today, just like Mike did. Just like Rick did. Just like billions of other people have done over human history. It's your turn today. Lord Jesus, I believe. And I ask you to forgive me for where I was because I don't want to live there anymore. Guess what God will say? I love you. Now go feed my sheep. I love you. Come. You're one of the lambs. Well, guess what? The altar's open today. And if you need to come, you come on. If you're making those decisions, you want to talk about it. You want to pray with a pastor. You want to get baptized, come forward. You want to just God to do something great in your life. Maybe you need to just come and say, Lord, you know what? Today, I just want to be loved. I want to know your love. I guarantee you God will make sure that happens. Prayers of healing today. That's real. It's real. Why don't you come and let God touch you in a real way? This altar's open. It's yours. People are already coming. You come on. You might need to be one of them that today says, Lord, I want to be baptized. Lord, I want to be loved. Lord, I want to be free. Lord, I want to be in you today in the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on. Come on, you come on. You can't tell me in a room with as many people that aren't summoning you right now, hey, listen, in the name of Jesus, don't stay away from grace. God wants you to have it, but you got to reach out and receive it. It's just like love and anything else. You got to reach out and receive it right now in the name of Jesus. Come on. Let's square up. Let's let God have His moment today. Let God have His moment today. In the name of Jesus. Come on. Lord, I ask you right now to just move on hearts that don't know you. And I ask you to move on hearts that know you. Most of all, Jesus, I ask you to move on deceived hearts. People that think they know you and they're not connected, that you would give them the truth, Lord, and they would be genuinely connected. Lord, I know that you'll never leave us, but Lord, I'm not sure that everybody's hooked up. It says they're hooked up with you, Lord. So help us get real right now. Get obedient. Get truthful. Get honest. Reckon with you in the name of Christ right now, Jesus. Let that happen. Let that flow over the altar. Thank you, Lord.